What's the difference between a good pharaoh and a great one? Mercy. Welcome to Weekly News Desk for the week of November 19th, 2016. I am Simon Etwell, and as always, joined by...
Andrew Dupe.
That joke is 100% true.
It is, especially when you pop that just as raining from above. You are never a bigger target.
This is true.
But when you got mercy on that, you know, well, you're going to be alive.
Also, if you're a good flying mercy, flying pharaoh, you get a fucking flying mercy.
Yeah.
Which is a bitch, which happened today when I was playing with the guys from the Geekly Discord.
As a mercy player, I appreciate a good pharaoh.
It's ridiculous just seeing them pharaoh fly and then mercy fly right past them. I'm like, you fucking assholes. Now I can't kill either of you.
Yeah, it really saves your bacon a lot. Although, especially if you're, like, trapped and then you see one pop up over the building, you're like, oh, thank God.
Although, the very first thing I did in that match was hook that pharaoh as being Junkrat, because it was Dorado, and I generally, if I'm tank on Dorado and attack, I usually start with Junkrat. Junkrat? No, Roadhog. Roadhog. And the first thing I did was I saw her, and I was like, oh, you fucking bitch. Hooked. Pulled. As she was trying to fly away from me. And I was like, all right, guys, that's it. I've spent myself for this whole fucking match. I just hooked that fairy where she was trying to fly away and killed her. Anyway, that was my update for my Overwatch day.
I still haven't played Overwatch since Sombra came out.
That's terrible.
I'm too focused on Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
We definitely don't
start games. Anyway, should we just start?
Why not?
I've been rambling for 2 minutes so far.
Ramble on.
It's a good song. Maybe we should do a music thing sometime. Anyway, let's go to movies. Let's talk about a movie trailer, or two movie trailers that I'm sure you didn't watch because you never watched the movie trailers. Actually, you may have watched the second one.
I saw the first one.
Oh, really?
Because it was in front of the movie I watched this
day. Oh, okay. So you didn't watch what I put in the notes.
No.
You saw it.
We saw it in glorious...
Did you guys go to IMAX?
No. We went to regular Real D.
Anyway, we'll talk about that later, too, the movie you saw. Anyway, so first, Ghost in the Shell trailer. The first Ghost in the Shell trailer has come out.
First of many, I assume.
For sure. At least five. I'm putting my bets now.
Movie trailer, TV spot.
Oh, yeah. TV spots are
TV
dumb.
Spot.
I don't talk about TV spots because they're dumb.
Super Bowl. I
don't know what's coming. Thanks, Andrew. You're right. I don't know what's coming either. So how creepy were those fucking robots at the very beginning?
Oh, I love them. Their
faces were so creepy.
They're so cool.
And then they went all hiss and spidery and pulled some people back from the table.
Now, this is on my list of animes to watch. I don't know anything about it.
I don't know a lot about it either. I do know that there's like four different animes and the manga and like the original like manga or stories or whatever.
Manga.
They're all slightly different. I know there used to be three movies on Netflix and now there's the third one of those three.
Yeah, I hate how Netflix rotates.
When I saw this trailer, I was like, oh, I should watch those movies because they've been on my list forever. Oh, there's only the third one.
The third.
Yeah, I know she's a cyborg.
Yep. I think they cover that in the trailer.
They do. I knew that. I already knew that, though, prior to the trailer.
Well, look at you, Mr. I know things about anime.
And I also think this is one of the ones, because this was when they said Scarlett Johansson was cast. It was a whole big whitewashing thing. And I was like, I don't think, isn't this character supposed to not be Asian? But I'm not 100% sure on that.
I don't either. But I do remember that the creator said, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, who cares?
Stop being stupid, everyone.
Because it's fiction.
That was the what do you call?
The guy who wrote the story?
Yeah.
The manga?
Yeah.
The mangaka?
Manga.
It's technically the Japanese term.
Mangaka?
Manga-ka. Right? I think is there a dash or it's just a space? Yeah, it's K-A. I assume it's pronounced ka. I don't know. I've only ever seen it written. Trailer looks cool. There's some cool looking fight stuff and some stealthy stuff. Some run on the wall stuff.
That's one of the other things I know about it. She can go invisible.
She can stealth. sometimes with clothes, sometimes without, depending on what you see and read. This was on one of the literally dozen plus Discords I'm on. They were talking about the trailer, and they said sometimes she can stealth. Well, all of her clothes are also stealth with her. Sometimes she's got to be her naked cyborg self.
And does it depend on which clothes?
I don't know. I didn't look into it, and I didn't really care. Look into it.
Okay.
Because that's not this movie. Because this movie, as all movies, are an adaptation. So if there are differences, well, it's an adaptation.
So relax.
Yeah, exactly. That's why my general rule of all things. Like,
put the pitchfork down.
Like Game of Thrones, which people have in the first couple seasons of Game of Thrones, were like, actually it's really good to the book, because it really was very close to the book. But anything like Lord of the Rings, like, actually I had this discussion with a couple of my friends yesterday, because we were just talking about Lord of the Rings. They were talking about Fantastic Beasts and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And then we got on Lord of the Rings, because, you know, movies, books, obviously.
Yep. Fantasy.
And then they talked about how they changed the end, and they have Return of the King in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, technically it ends the same. You just cut off the whole Return of the Shire stuff.
Yeah.
Because which cinematically would be terrible.
Everyone would have died of boredom.
Yeah, it would have been terrible in the movie. It's great in the book.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. But cinematically, it doesn't really fit.
Yeah.
In that way.
So sometimes you got to make that sort of choice where it doesn't fit in the medium you're presenting the story.
And other times you're just bad at making. And other times you just make a bad adaptation. Sometimes it happens.
Sometimes. And it's not The Hobbit.
No, they just should have done two movies.
They should have, but
they should have done only two movies at most. Three movies is too many.
I still do like how many there were.
You just like how many dwarves there were in the third one.
I know, I am unbelievably biased.
And they had Billy Connolly?
Yeah.
As Dane.
Dane.
So
the greatest of the dwarf leaders.
That was amazing casting.
Yeah.
What has happened in this trailer? Let's go to the Shell trailer. Talk about that again. Was fighting.
She goes invisible.
She goes invisible. And maybe walking. Are they walking on water in that scene?
There was water involved.
They looked like they're kind of walking on a harbor. But I was like, is it just really wet?
I don't know.
Are they literally on the water right now?
I didn't really think too hard about it.
I thought a little bit about it because it looked weird. And, you know, things are not what they seem. That's kind of how the trailer ends.
Yeah.
Also, because I don't remember. After seeing this trailer, I was looking at something else, because, you know, again, with the whitewashing thing, way to hit the mic.
I didn't do it.
I think I saw it earlier, is the funniest thing from the guy who's directing, or who wrote, maybe, what's the one with Matt Damon where he's on the Great Wall of China? He's, like, the only white guy.
Oh.
And that was a big deal when they announced that. But
that was being made, like, by China.
By an Asian... production company, which was the funniest part.
Like, if they whitewash their own stuff, can people care?
Apparently the internet can. But the guy, I think it was the director, the guy came out and he's like, you know what, guys, you're right. Only Chinese people fought demons on the Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
It's fiction.
It's so dumb.
And it's not, it's fiction, and it's not based on something. Like, I get people having a problem with, what's her name, as the Ancient One. Kind of, although I hear she's fucking amazing in Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, yeah. No, she's great.
I hear she's great. I can kind of understand that, because it's not, because traditionally that character is an Asian man. Like, changing a character's race, something in an adaptation of a character that already existed, maybe, I still think you're being, like, things are allowed to be changed. I still think you're being too sensitive, too fanboyish for that, but
yeah.
There are times where, yes, you're casting things like whitewashing, it's a thing. It's absolutely a real thing. But not every time something like this happens, you don't need to cry out, oh, it's the worst thing ever. Come down, take a look, look at the surrounding things, see why. That's all I say to the internet. But the internet will never calm down.
And I mean, in the case of what was she called?
The Ancient One?
The Ancient One, yeah. It's like, it's more of a title.
It is. It's also, it is a title.
So... you know,
it's not necessarily the same character.
Calm thine tits.
And also, the Ancient One in the comics is super. Like, if they had done the Ancient One as per the comics, they would have been called racists. 100 guaranteed. The same people calling it whitewashing would have then called that movie racist if they'd done it as per comics.
That was a great movie, though.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's so good. It's one of the best Marvel movies.
That's what they say.
I mean, man, so good. The ending, and oh, man, just watch it. It's hard to talk about it to people who haven't watched it.
I mean, I don't care about spoilers, but I'm sure the three people that listen might. Although, some of them have probably seen it. Most of them have probably seen it.
Maybe.
Who knows? We'll maybe get that one other listener to this week. It's also really funny, going back to, because I did a little bit of it. You know how you see something terrible on the internet, and then you just keep looking?
Yes.
So, going on the whitewashing thing, it reminded me that back, you know how they would, how in, I think it's in Japan, they're doing a live-action Attack on Titan, I think it's a movie?
Yeah, it's a movie.
They're all, why does nobody care that they're all Asian actors? Literally, the point of, one thing I know about Attack on Titan is Mikasa Ackerman, the main character, is like one of very few Japanese / Asian people left. Because the Titans started over there and fucking wrecked them, is my understanding. So, they really shouldn't all be Japanese actors.
Like, his last name is Jaeger. Character.
Yeah, Eren Jaeger.
Yeah.
Her adopted brother or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not Asian. Most of those characters are not Asian, because Asia got fucking destroyed by the Titans when they first sort of showed up over there, is my understanding. But that wasn't a big deal. Nobody was raising their pitchforks there. Anyway, I just think it's also like how, I'm not, you know what, I was going to talk about the election, but I'm not going to do it.
Please don't.
We're not a political podcast.
I hate everything. Moving on.
Moving on. So, the next trailer, which I bet you didn't watch, because I'm sure it wasn't in front of a movie.
It wasn't, and it's also not in my wheelhouse.
Tell me, it's got Batman in it.
Yeah, but then it's got the rest of those.
But it doesn't. Anyway, Justice League Dark. It has. I mean, it does have the League in it in the beginning, but it's not. It's about magic, right? It's mainly focused on dark magic bullshit is happening. It's in the trailer. It's like a bunch of people all over the world are starting to see weird demonic evil vision things, and so the League is like, it must be some sort of evil magic, and Batman's like, magic, then we have to find John Constantine. And I was like, really, you have fucking Satana like sitting at the table? Pretty sure the member of the League who does magic is sitting at the table, but it doesn't matter because it's got fucking Constantine in it. I love Hellraiser. And I wish that show had actually managed to stay up, because the actor they had cast in the Hellraiser TV show is really good, too. So it's about magic stuff. So you've got...
Hellraiser?
Hellraiser is the comic that John Constantine is from. That, the movie Constantine with Keanu Reeves, is based off of, loosely.
Is it like Hellraiser, Hellraiser?
Is Hellraiser the wrong thing? Is Hellraiser the thing with Pinhead?
Yeah.
Damn it, what is it then? Sorry. It's something hell. What is it? Now I'm confused. John, thank you for... Constantine? It's Hell something. God damn it.
Helsinki.
No, it's not Helsinki.
Hellgate, London.
John Constantine. Fictional character.
Hellboy.
Sonish. Partnerships. Movie.
Hell.
Creators. Why don't you tell me what the name of his fucking book was called, Google?
Joogle. Get on your game.
It's the play by Matt Ryan, Keanu Reeves.
I thought that one was pretty good.
What, the Keanu Reeves one?
Yeah.
It's a good movie. It's not... Hellblazer. You can see why I confused the fucking name.
420.
They're really...
Hellblazer.
They're really
YOLO
close.
Swag.
The name's... Shut up. I'm going to slap you.
360 no-scope.
I'm going to reach around the corner of this table and slap you. Yes, Hellblazer. That's what his book is called.
I knew a thing.
He deals. Yeah. He knew a horror movie, too. That's what, I mean, 80s horror movies. So. Yeah,
but it's real cool.
It is. Anyway, Hellblazer, yeah. Yes, the Keanu Reeves Constantine movie was good. It's not Hellblazer, really. The character is pretty close, but everything else surrounding it is not. He does deal with demons, and he does magic-y stuff. This is all, in fact, true.
Demons.
But this trailer looks really cool. There's a giant sentient tornado trying to hit the Batmobile as they're trying to get to John Constantine?
Sentient tornadoes are cool.
I think it had a face, so I'm pretty sure it's a sentient tornado. The house that John Constantine was in, like, appeared out of nowhere so that they could get to him.
Hmm.
It's got Satana, I think. That's the magic girl,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And senators, you won't know this one. He's a senator, some sort of politician, something blood. He's actually the demon Etrigan, I want to say. It's a thing that Batman deals with all the time, actually. But I don't know if he is actually a demon or if he, like, shares his body with a demon, a la Thor and Donald Blake in that rebooted Thor from, like, 5 years ago, where they were separate personalities, but they were residing in one body.
I think I recall this.
So when he summoned the Thor powers, he was Thor, and Donald Blake was, like, in his head.
Then right, right.
When he released the Thor powers, Thor was in Donald Blake's head.
Right.
It was kind of cool. That is actually, I think, how Etrigan works. He's kind of a separate personality within Blood. And yes, the guy's last name is Blood.
Crips.
And he's a politician, somehow. Because, let's be honest, in the real world, if your last name is Blood, you're not getting public office. It doesn't matter how white, how good you are, how white linen, white your linens is. That's not a saying. There's a saying. I don't know. I feel like Scott Johnson today. I can't fucking come up with any saying.
I mean, if you got white linens, you got good laundries.
Yeah, sure.
That costs money.
That's what I mean. I'm standing like Scott Johnson, where the things are not right, but you can see how they connect in the brain.
Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Anyway, it doesn't matter how goody-goody you are, how clean your history is. If your last name is Blood, you ain't getting public office.
No.
It's not happening.
Well, it's the same with a lot of comic book people.
Yeah, well, yeah, comic names are, well, comic names.
Yeah.
Anyway, this trailer looks really cool. It is, Justice League Dark is DC animated. I believe it is, as all DC animated, I mean, it's straight to DVD stuff, which is where their movies are fucking amazing. The DC animated movies are fucking great.
Does Marvel even have animated movies?
Yes. And the fact that you asked that proves how weirdly opposite the animated stuff is to the live action stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like,
the DC animation, the DC animated movies, that is, fucking runs the show for animated comic book properties.
Is this Dark one R-rated?
Yeah, yes, I believe this is one, I saw something that was going R-rated, was it this one?
Yeah, same. I saw that there was a new one coming out that's R-rated, and that's why I asked.
This is an ad, so it might be this one, I don't remember now. Because I want to say yes, but then I was like, but then it's animated, and that doesn't make any sense at all. So now I have to sit through this fucking ad.
You're welcome.
I mean, I could probably look it up on, like, IMDb or something.
I could probably help.
But I'm just going to click my link to the YouTube and watch through this ad for Killing Floor 2, which I have no interest in. Thanks. 2 seconds. 1 seconds. All right, yeah. This following PV has been approved for a company this feature by the Motion Picture Association of America. The film advertised has been rated R.
Look at me knowing things. I am on the ball.
It's weird. I mean, it's not weird because it's Constantine, and Constantine's pretty hefty. But it's weird for animation to be.
It's heavy, Doc.
R. I'm just going to ignore that. But anyway, this trailer looks good. Y'all should watch it.
Y'all.
I know. I don't know why I say y'all. I don't know anybody from the South. And I've never been to the South.
Down in the South. Kentucky.
Anyway. See, they don't even say it on... Do they even say it on Justified? Because it was even... I said y'all even before I got into Justified. I don't think even that many people in Justified say y'all.
I'd imagine they would.
I don't know. I don't know if they're far enough South. I mean, they're pretty far South, but I don't know if they're far enough South.
I mean, pretty much all the... The townsfolk, they're all pretty small town, basic cooking moonshine.
Nobody cooks moonshine unjustified, they all cook meth.
I'm stereotyping.
Yeah, but you're in the wrong state. Kentucky is meth.
Sorry.
God, get your stereotypes straight. Kentucky is meth and coal miners, just like West Virginia is meth and coal miners.
And fried chicken.
That's true. South is also fried chicken.
Thank you, the Colonel.
Who was not from the South.
Or a colonel. Or a colonel. I love the colonel.
Anyway, let's go to the next point.
Is it Kentucky Fried Chicken?
No, it's Amelia Clark, which you misspelled because I believe her name ends in an E.
An E, yeah.
Clark, Amelia Clarky.
Clarky.
Joins the Han Solo movie, which Han I'm also Solo-y. Going to capitalize in the show notes because I'm a stickler like that.
It's good. I was going to, but then I was too lazy and then I just ignored it.
But we don't. So Amelia Clark has been cast as the female lead. And a bunch of other people also considered for it.
Yeah.
You can't see me because I just did a thing that I do when I don't have any more information. And I just stop, close my mouth, and I shake my eyes. Look to either side, like shifty.
She's in it.
But nobody out there can see that.
Yeah. This is exciting. She's a pretty good-looking lady.
She'd be a decent actress. Although, actually, I haven't seen her in anything outside of Game of Thrones.
I think she was in
Terminator.
Yeah. She was Genesis? Connor.
Genesis? Is that the latest one? Yeah, Genesis.
She was the Connor lady.
She was the Sarah Connor. Which is really funny, because in the Sarah Connor
Chronicles?
Lena Headey was Sarah Connor.
Yeah, and Lena Headey, I didn't consider
who
that.
What the fuck is
her? Cersei?
Cersei
Lannister.
Yeah, so at this point now, two different female leads from Game of Thrones played Sarah Connor, which is funny.
It is funny.
Both of whom dyed her blonde to be in Game of Thrones, because I believe they're both brunettes.
Yeah.
You can barely hear pick up the dogs upstairs. I can barely hear pick up the dogs upstairs.
Same.
Just so everybody knows, if you hear a weird growling or something in the background, that's the dogs upstairs. I'm not going to stop unless I get excessively loud. So I'm sure we'll see more news about Amelia Clark and what her character in the movie is later. It could be... What's her name? You read the Young Han Solo trilogy, whatever the fuck it's called, right? Did you? The one where he explains how he knows how to understand Wookiee.
Nope.
And then he goes and he frees some slaves from not the Hutts, but like the Hutts' cousins. And then one of the slaves turns around and they're kind of in a relationship, they fall in love, and then she turns later... I don't remember why they separate, but they do, and then she's a total bitch. Nope. Can't remember her name, but she's a total bitch. It's good books. I can't remember who wrote them. I used to have them, I probably still do somewhere, in like a three book, you know, one of those giant books that are three books.
Like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, like Lord of the Rings had one. There was also one I had that was like A Familiar Dragon, where it was really good books. I can't remember who that was written by either. I have it on a note on my old phone so I could remember to look up those books, and I never did. But it could be that character, but we don't know much really about this movie and what it's, if it's an entirely new stuff or if it's based on old legends stuff.
Probably going to be loosely based.
Yeah. Probably.
Probably very loosely.
Also, there was a behind the scenes thing for Rogue One, but I didn't watch it.
Me either. I want to, I want to just have Rogue One happen now. I'm ready.
Not that far.
It's not far.
A month?
I mean, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. That snuck up on me real good.
You want to talk about that now?
Yeah.
All right, talk about that now.
So it came out, like, Thursday.
This weekend? Yeah.
Yeah, Thursday night. And I saw it this morning, and it was fantastic. The Newt Scamander. He is a. It's a very Harry Potter name. It's not the worst as far as that terrible. Goes. But he's a great, great character, especially in terms of like embodying what Hufflepuff is, which is the best Harry Potter house. But the best part of it is how it fits into the fiction and the world. Some of the stuff that they have going on in fiction is kind of weird. I don't like it too much, but the way they executed it is really good. And like they'll just kind of casually name drop a bunch of stuff without like lingering on it or addressing it, over explaining things. So if this is your first exposure to Harry Potter, might not.
You're 10. One. You're 10 or younger.
Yeah. You might not get the full experience, I guess. But it's real good. And even in-world, like, actual events, like Prohibition and stuff, they just kind of, like, casually slide in little mentions that this is going on. Yeah, it's like the 26th, I think, is the exact date.
Which I guess is close enough to the 30s.
Yeah. And, like, the war, they quickly mention the war, and this commander, like, offhandly mentions that he was in the Eastern Front doing something. And that's interesting.
The first war.
Yeah.
I was like, that war, that's still years before the... Oh, you mean World War One?
Yeah.
There's the war going on in 26. It was the 10 to 15 years between the two world wars.
But, yeah, it was real good.
I just did that annoying click thing that I try not to do on the microphone. No, mine's worse. Yeah, no, the trailers look pretty good. But
yeah, you should watch it.
I'm sure at some point. I'm sure Erica wants to see it.
It expands the fiction, and it's exciting, and I do kind of wish there was a book. I want to consume this, like, with words.
An actual fiction book, not the weird textbook that was. She did a thing that was this.
It was like a textbook. Yeah, it was just like what the actual book would have been in the world.
It was the textbook.
I mean, she did write the screenplay, so it's basically the same thing, but I want a book. I want it.
And the trailers look pretty good. And it's got Colin Farrell in it. I like Colin Farrell.
Yeah, he was okay in the movie. It was weird how he kind of, like, takes a weird position in the movie. Mm. When you watch it, you'll find out. Sure. It was just structured weird as a movie.
In like, April, maybe?
When it comes to video?
When it comes to DVD?
Video. Maybe sooner.
Video?
VHS? VHS and DVD?
When you couldn't go rent it from Blockbuster?
I miss Blockbuster.
I was watching a comic on I think it was on Netflix, like a stand-up, and he was like, so I was on the phone with Blockbuster. Yes, that's a really old school sentence now. Mm-hmm. On the phone with Blockbuster. I was like, it really is.
Ugh. I used to work at Blockbuster.
I used to go to Blockbuster every week.
Me too, when I worked there.
Yeah, but I never worked there.
You get the like premium membership. You get like that free thing a week, one free movie a week.
Mm-hmm. And your little fob.
Yeah, your little fob.
Fob. You had a full size card and a little keychain fob.
Yeah, I remember. I had to upsell those.
We didn't require any upselling for the Blockbuster Premium thing because we went to Blockbuster a lot and went to a lot of things.
Yeah, if you go there a lot, it's a good idea.
Get your movies, and I got video games.
You get one free a week. You get extra time on renting some of them. You get...
Sorry, I just realized we were like talking about Blockbuster and what the premium, what a deal with the premium was.
It was a great deal.
Like 7 years after they closed?
I mean, if enough people buy it, maybe they'll stay in business. Right?
I mean, there are Blockbusters still open, but they're not.
They're not Blockbuster.
They're people who ran the stores who just like, yeah, we're going to keep our store running. The corporation was like, sure, whatever. I assume they got some sort of money. But they're not, Blockbuster corporate or whatever.
Because that gone. It was a relic of the past.
Anyway, let's go to our last thing in movies, which is Deadpool 2 gets redirected. Andrew.
That's me.
John Wick co-director David Leitch has been brought on board Deadpool 2, replacing Tim Miller.
Cool.
Apparently that movie was co-directed. John Wick, that is to say. I didn't realize that.
I didn't realize that either.
Two directors.
But, I mean, if he takes any of that sweet action...
I mean, here's the thing. Leitch is best known for his stunt work, but turned into impressive impressive directorial debut with 2014 with the 2014 John Wick.
Good.
Which means a lot of that action probably did come from him.
So if this is going to be the best movie ever.
I had to take a guess. Probably.
This is what I'm hoping.
Also, this guy apparently left. It's really funny because this thing that says from the rap.com that I'm reading, this press release, says that he recently left John Wick 2 in order to prep the Charlize Theron spy film, The Coldest City. I was like, have they not done John Wick 2? They must be done John Wick 2.
Yeah.
They already started the next thing, and it's coming up very soon. So they may have meant 3, or may have left some sort of editing thing, which means the director doesn't really have to be there.
Yeah.
No, it's just a weird writing thing. Also, apparently there's a Charlize Theron spy film called The Coldest City. And it's going to be directed by the guy who directed John Wick, so...
I wonder if it takes place in the Cold War.
I don't know, but it's got Charlize Theron and spies and the guy who directed John Wick.
And there's cold in the name.
I'm interested.
Yeah?
I'm interested in those three factors.
Hey, depending on how these movies go, man, like, John Wick, I'm sold. I want more. Gimme. I don't know if you have ever listened to the podcast before, but we are sold on John Wick.
John Wick. Yeah, it's our favorite Asian restaurant. They cook it right in front of you.
That'd be a good spinoff.
John Wick. Oh, God. We have to be in well-fitted suits. That hitman-style assassin suits.
He's like a samurai. And his wife dies, and then he gets a dog, and then they come over to his...
I was thinking of the restaurant as a spin-off restaurant, not a spin-off movie.
Because
what you're describing is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Or maybe, yeah, he's a Ronin, because Ronins are cool.
Yeah, but his name can't be John Wick.
John Wick.
His name can't be John Wick, okay? I mean, unless it's a comedy, and later he's going to invent the wok by punching a pan. If he's punching somebody in the face, and they put a pan to protect it,
or
and then he punches it and it bends, so it's not flat on the bottom, so it becomes a wok.
He is actually a chef person.
He's a chef assassin?
Yeah, he's a chef assassin.
So you're still going for comedy here.
Yeah, he wants to just retire and, like, get out of the chef game.
Oh my God.
And his wife dies.
And he gets a dog.
He's in the dog. And then they come to his house and they want him to cook something.
Oh my
Get out of
God.
Retirement and cook something. Mm. And they just don't know who he is.
This is the worst. You're describing the worst things possible.
John Wick fan fiction.
The worst things possible. But, in better news, the John Wick director is going to direct Deadpool 2, so it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, mark your day planner.
Make your day planner. All right, let's move on to the one point that we have in TV. So you may or may not have noticed, because I didn't actually realize until I saw this story about it coming to TV, that they did a reshuffle of a lot of the Marvel movies, right?
Yeah, and the shows too.
And there was an Indiana Jones. There was something else that Disney owns that they also were throwing up there.
Yeah. Indiana Jones is a thing.
And they quietly took Inhumans off of their movie list.
Dun dun dun.
Because it's going to be a TV show.
Woo!
They're going to do an Inhumans TV show. We don't have a lot of information on it yet. But that's what they're going to plan to do with it instead of a movie. Which is interesting.
I'm okay with it.
I mean, they're doing a lot of
it kind
of
makes sense. Because
doing some Inhuman stuff if it'll live on ABC, where it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yeah,
ABC. Yeah, because they're doing a lot of Inhumans-y stuff.
Because there's that one chick on S.H.I.E.L.D. team.
Yep, I don't remember her name. I was gonna say Chloe Foster, but I'm pretty sure that's the actress's name. Yeah. Sky.
Sky.
That's spoilers, I guess, for season two, and then now in season 4.
Sorry, it's like a billion years old now.
If you cared, you knew that. I haven't even seen season 2, and I knew that.
It's real good. You should watch it.
I have it downloaded. I mean, I have it legally acquired.
Ghost Rider's coming to it.
Ghost Rider's in it. Yeah, it's season 4.
Yeah.
He's in it now on TV.
What season are we on?
4.
Jeez.
Because I have season 2 and 3.
And oh, yeah, 3 is with Omos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Old Admiral Dama himself.
Yeah. Yep. That's good. I want to watch more of that.
So Inhumans is interesting, and I think it's strange that they're taking it out of this. I mean, I guess it's still in the cinematic universe, taking it out of the movies, just because they don't have mutants.
Right.
And so if they don't have mutants, anything that would traditionally be mutants is probably going to be Inhumans, because they're pretty close.
Right.
So it just seems strange to me that they're taking it out of the movies, but I mean, it is the same universe, technically.
It's just closer lived, like the Netflix universe is...
Yeah.
It's still same, but it's more contained within itself, and mm-hmm. then the ABC universe, and then the...
Which is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And Carter.
Oh, right, I forgot about Agent Carter, because there's two miniseries or something for Agent Carter. I forgot about it. I've never seen that. I should watch that. I totally forgot that existed.
I want to watch it, too, because it's got the Howling Commandos in it, and there's the dude with the sweet mustache.
And Hayley Atwell was a great Agent Carter.
She's awesome, just in general.
I don't remember ever seeing... I'm sure I've seen her in other things. I don't remember seeing her in other things.
She posted, like, a thing on her Twitter. It's just her taking a cookie and just shoving it all in her mouth. And then smiling. And it's so great. It's just this giant cookie. She just
shoves it in her pretty face. Funny. That's pretty funny.
No reason. Just she's cool.
Inhumans. Look for it. I'm sure we'll talk about it more when I get more information on it. So, Andrew.
Hello.
Let's go to games. I see your DS over there. I see its light. It's red.
That's why I closed it.
I know.
Pokemon Sun and Moon.
I'm leading you in.
Has been released. And the grind is on. But it doesn't really feel like a grind. This is the best Pokemon game that happened since, I guess, Silver came out and... changed everything, because then they just followed that format, adding little things here and there. But this is like the most changes, like a change to how the styles are, change to how the Pokedex is, change the interface, just a lot of quality of life improvements. Like if you have discovered a Pokemon and it's in your Pokedex, you then know what type it is, what kind of rating it has in terms of like speed and health, and that takes into effect when you have the fight menu up and it shows like each move, and it'll say like not effective, not very effective, effective, super effective.
That's nice.
So it's got some typing like built right into the move, so you can kind of make an easier decision on what to use, and that's insanely helpful for me, because there's so many Pokemon.
So many Pokemon and so many types. And sometimes you look at a Pokemon and you're like, well, that's like metal.
Yeah, no, it's gotta be steel. It's not. And it's like, no, like that's
Ghost.
Like
the sword?
Yeah.
It's not metal, not steel.
He is part steel.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't know. There was something that was like, well, that's clearly this. No, it's not that at all.
I think he's like Steel Ghost. So then he's just like... he's not affected by certain things, and you're like, well, son of a bitch. But yeah, like, it is so cool. And then like, you go into a wild Pokemon battle, you can just press Y and it brings up your list of Pokeballs. You don't have to that's go nice. Menu
item menu and all that
slide
shit.
slide select.
That's nice.
You just go Y, Pokeballs, boom. And the art style is a lot better, and it's not like it's like the cinematics and stuff, like air quotes cinematics, they used in Alpha Sapphire and X and Y. That style is like what the game is in. So I had a dumb old person moment right off the gate, because it shows you like...
Is this a cinematic?
Yeah,
oh no.
It's like it's a cinematic, and it's like your mom sends her Meowth up to wake you up from bed. And the Meowth goes up to the bed and makes a sound. And then you're laying there. And I'm like, he's not getting up.
Oh, that's where I hit a button.
That was my cue to move the character. But I took me too long. And then it kept happening for a bit. I'm like, the cinematic's over.
That's funny.
So it's pretty good in that sense. And the way it moves you along through the story, and your Pokedex is inhabited by a Pokemon because it's this new fancy model that allows a Rotom. God, I don't know. Stupid electric garbage Pokemon to inhabit it. Who also speaks, like, English.
Weird.
But he brings in a fair bit of helpfulness because you got markers on your map now for where to go for things, which is great.
What do you mean, where to go for things?
Like
the next town?
Yeah, like the next town, or like, right now I'm going through a bunch of stuff and it's like, you know, you're learning how to play the game and like what certain buildings are, and it's like a waypoint marker, like a quest marker.
Weird.
So it kind of helps direct you where to go, and you don't just aimlessly wander around and forget, and like I have done in every Pokemon game, where I'm just like, I don't remember what the last person told me to do.
I don't think I've ever had that problem.
I haven't, everyone. I'm dumb. Real dumb.
Even when I like stopped playing X and Y for like 2 months, and then I forced myself back to just finish it, I'm pretty sure I knew where I was going, because they've always been fairly linear.
And another real great thing is the Pokemon that have been showing up. It's not super heavy on one specific generation. It's been kind of a good nostalgic grouping. Like, I've ran into some of the new birds of this region. I don't friggin' know what they're called. And then I ran into a Slowpoke, a Ladybug, some of the new Alola, Rattatas.
Aloha. Mustachioed Rattatas.
Yeah.
That look like pistachios, according to somebody, as he named his Rattata Mr. Pistachio.
And whatever the friggin' ferret-looking thing is, the new thing, I don't know, I don't remember. And I caught one of those. The game is pretty easy still. Like, since X and Y, I've noticed, like, you get the XP share, like, right off the bat. Your rival isn't really a rival. He's like a buddy who's all chill, and he always picks the Pokemon that you're super effective against rather than the other way.
Well, the buddy thing is even, like, older than X and Y. Like, not a rival. Even in, like... who's the one with the weird millipede in Dark Space? He was...
I'll say Black and White, because I don't know.
I don't know. It was one of the middle ones, because I played it. I borrowed it from my friend. I borrowed it from a friend.
I checked shortly out before, Silver.
Yes, so did I. Shortly before X and Y came out, I borrowed one. And at some point... I don't think it was Black and White, but I don't know.
I mean,
but
Ruby...
he was your friend that you were with. It was keep traveling around. Except he always rushed forward, because that's what he did. That's why he was always ahead of you.
Right.
Not because he was trying to be you. So that's not you in X and Y. I mean, that's one other game, though. I don't know if they continue with that.
The Ruby...
Sapphire?
Sapphire, whatever. Those other ones, they had that, too. But I don't know if the original... did, because
I would imagine, because they don't, I mean, I say they don't, not that I've ever played any of them, but in the really re-releases, I don't think they ever change anything.
No,
they just make it prettier and work better.
I mean, this one had a lot of stuff added to it in general, so I don't know where they drew the line, but I did like how they did it in, like, Blue and Silver. Like, Blue, he was just, like, a dick.
Yep. Blue and Red and Yellow. He was just a douchebag. He was Gary Oak.
He was a good rival. Just a flat-out dick.
and Silver and Gold, he was this random guy who broke into the...
Yeah, he's like a burglar. You keep running into him, and he's just also a dick.
Less of a dick. More of a criminal.
Yeah. But still a dick. And then after that, all like, buddy, buddy.
Buddy, 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 rocking everywhere.
Yeah. But yeah, there's so much good about this game.
I'm not gonna buy it. It's not a thing that's gonna happen. There's still over 600 Pokemon.
There is close to 800 now. Yeah,
not interested. There's so many. This is something I realized when playing X and Y. I don't care about, you know, the battling, really. It's a means to an end, being the champ, the best. Like, I'm pretty sure Ryan, judging by what I hear about in your Pokemon tournament, that's what he was into. He was into min-maxing his Pokemon, making sure everything, the battling was what it was for. In Red and Blue and Silver, I just wanted to fill the Pokedex. That was literally what I've tried to fill the Pokedex as much as possible. You can't do that if there's 600 plus fucking Pokemon.
800.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if you count the Alola versions, I think there is over 800 Pokemon.
Yeah. So not interested.
Yeah. I mean, I've never.
Just too much.
I've never been interested in filling the Pokedex or really being a super master breeding the master race.
The games.
I like them. They're fun.
They're not fun.
They are fun.
No. I mean, X and Y just kind of bored me, and I went back and I bought Yellow on the 3DS when it was on sale, right? Mm-hmm. God, the grind, man.
Yeah.
The fucking grind. You gotta stop it just before every gym and just walk in the fucking grass and go up five levels.
They got rid of, and all these new ones giving you XP share off the bat.
Yeah. Which is nice, because that grind is so bad. It's like, I can't go back. The Wii U is over there. I was like, is there a Wii U down here? Because that was the Wii U. You got an ad on the Wii U pad sound.
So annoying. I hate the Wii U.
What was it? Oh, wait, I can't go back and play the old .hack games either. Because you can't just progress through the story in the old .hack games either. You have to stop. You have to go level up in other areas or get items from other areas.
It's brutal.
You can't just progress through the story. It's really annoying.
Yeah, Pokemon's good.
Andrew likes Pokemon, so of course
there's also Pokemon is good. Dialogue options that you can pick in conversation, so like people talk to you, you get to choose A or B. But from what I can tell, it doesn't matter.
Of course it doesn't.
It has no effect on what they're going to reply to you with unless you ask a question. There's a couple of things like
that in X and Y, too. Where you had choices that didn't really matter.
Now but not many. It's like all the time. And it's kind of cool for flavor, but, you know. I have to remind myself this is a children's game sometimes.
And you're a child.
And I am a child.
Alright, let's move on to the next thing. Keep it in Nintendo.
The old switcheroo?
The old switcheroo. So, Andrew, what are reliable sources?
Reliable sources are sources who have proven themselves.
I'm going to...
I got a look there.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the reliable source is, but they have reported on a lot of the stuff that was true and accurate before the release.
Before the trailer?
Yeah, and they said they have more information on some other stuff, but it's not, like, concrete, and so it's not a just tossing words out there. It's just more of a, at this point in time, this is what is happening with the Switch.
The Nintendo Switch.
There's a bunch of other news and stuff and details.
There's a lot of news in quotation marks.
Yeah.
They say that people say that not Nintendo, but somebody else says this might be this. No.
Yeah, well, this is the reliable source.
Shaking my head at IGN. Specifically, yeah, IGN. It's IGN. So IGN. I was like, this might be this, and maybe this. I'm not IGN. This is not news. This is some guy in the street said this.
Yeah.
Basically.
There might be a touchpad, guys.
Is basically what IGN's news is, and I fucking hate it. And I yet still watch every time IGN things on Snapchat, I still watch every video.
But that's why I included this one note. So as it is now, the Nintendo Switch will have two different packages, like most of the other consoles and stuff.
Yeah, they generally do have a couple.
The basic will cost £200.
It's $300-ish.
$300 Canadian, pretty much. $250 American, etc., give or take, depending on the day.
Give or take, yeah.
And how U.S. goes in the next couple, you know, I don't want to talk about it. So the basic 200 pounds, and the only difference is the storage size. But it is said to have expandable SD memory and support the high-capacity SD cards.
That's nice.
So SDHC. And they go up to, like, many, many gigabytes. Many, many. Triple digit.
Many whoops.
Many whoops. Handle it.
Handle it. Left side.
So the basic is 200 pounds, and the larger one is 250. And you get a game, which is not...
not going to be probably anything big. Actually, it might be it's a Nintendo. It might be a Mario game. Yeah.
That's what the speculation is, and it would make sense because they had it going on in the little trailer thing, and it would be...
Well, they also had a lot of Skyrim. A lot of Skyrim in the trailer, which Bethesda hasn't said it. Yeah, we don't know yet.
But hey, if it comes bundled with Skyrim, you can sell all of those, man. I don't know what would sell more, is Mario or Skyrim?
On that, probably Mario, because it's Nintendo. And you buy Okay, speaking from just a few people that I know, generally buy very few things nowadays that are on Nintendo that aren't just made by Nintendo. What games do you buy? I guess Pokemon.
There aren't any right now, really.
Like, for the Wii U, there was Pokemon, which is technically not made by Nintendo.
No, it was just published.
Yeah. And, like, what? What other game for, like, the Wii U did you buy that wasn't Nintendo?
I mean, the Smash Bros. Isn't technically Nintendo. Isn't it?
That's weird. I thought that was. Oh no! Yeah, that's.
Bandai.
It is another thing, but that's so. That's almost. Nintendo first. You know.
Yeah, it's almost basically everything on the Wii U is, either first party or close enough to it that it doesn't matter.
1.5, first and a half party.
Yeah.
Yeah, there isn't much. There's more on like the 3DS. That stuff gets more third party ish stuff.
Yeah. But it was mostly because of how poor the Wii U did.
But, what the hell was that beep? Is that your computer?
I didn't hear it.
Oh, I heard a beep.
Anyway, the cool thing is they say 200 pounds, and that becomes relevant because it's region-free. So the price will be the same, just no matter what, depending on, you know, your...
That's what you think.
...currency.
Just ask Australians when it comes out.
Well, yeah. That's a logistics issue.
That's everything is stupid expensive when it comes to video games in Australia.
I should have thought of that before they lived on Prison Island.
God, even Steam is stupid expensive. It's not just logistics.
Well, that's also part of logistics. Expensive. Because the digital copy game has to follow suit with the actual distributed game.
That's true. They can't have them.
Otherwise, there would be
they some can't have them be regularly cheaper. They can have a sale, a temporary sale that makes them cheaper.
But the regular price
has to be the same as the physical, which is good in a way.
Yeah.
And also not good in ways. Capitalism, man, it's weird.
Capitalism, dumb.
Yeah, and people are too dumb for socialism. So
how do we keep getting back to this? Let's stop.
This is not a specific political discussion.
No, it's close enough.
I'm just saying that's what, you know, how people always say communism works in theory.
Yeah.
I mean, and socialism does work in theory until you include humans.
Yeah, and same with everything.
Everything
else.
Actually works in theory until you include humans, and we fuck shit up. Humans are the worst. Anyway, region free, which means you can take it on vacation with you when you go to England, right?
Yeah, and games, etc. will work.
Yeah,
on...
you can buy. Hell yeah! If you go on vacation to England and you buy a game there,
or Japan,
you buy a game there. You bring it back, you'll be able to play it.
Yeah.
I may have done that in PlayStation 2, but I don't even know what the fuck it was. I bought a game, not realizing... Cause
the region locks.
Not realizing I was in grade 6 or 7. I was young. I didn't know what the fuck that was.
I mean, everything was region locked.
That's how I found out that things that they were region locked.
DVDs, region locked, and all that. Yep. Stupid.
Yep.
Also, the Pro Controller, which is, I guess, what they're calling it, like, for real... is sold separate, and it's about like $50. So regular controller price.
Actually, that's cheaper. If $50 is this regular price, I mean regular
price. Well, $50 is American.
Oh, okay. I don't know, regular priced controllers R80, but that's here. That's about right.
Yeah.
Regular place to Xbox and PlayStation controllers. Not your elite things, Andrew, which are like...
Sexy.
Stupid. Expensive.
Sexy.
Anyway. So that would be interesting.
Worth every penny.
Depending on the game, I might get... I mean, that's not a huge price difference. I mean, it's not a huge price difference. I might get a bigger one for
the Depending game. On the game,
I'd Depending on the it. Game.
Yeah. Because it's just, that's basically the price difference of the game.
Pretty much.
Why not just get the storage?
Yep.
If it's going to be a game you're going to buy anyway, you know.
All right, let's move on to the Nexus Challenge, our last thing in games.
Yeah,
I just wanted to talk about this quickly because I only saw about it like 2 days ago or yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't look at my news much this week until like 2 days ago or yesterday.
I mean, I knew about it earlier, but that's because Rachel's a...
Obsessed with Overwatch, and it had something to do with Overwatch,
yeah.
Kind of. So
Thank you, Rachel.
This Nexus Challenge thing. the Nexus is the thing in Heroes of the Storm that you fight in.
Yes.
It's also the thing you break at the end. I think they're both called Nexuses. Nexi is a thing. Is there a base on Nexus?
It's core, I believe.
Is it core? Maybe it's core.
Our core is under attack.
I think you're right. Yeah. Is that... I know it is in, like...
Oh, no, it is. Your core.
It is core, because that's why Scott Johnson's Heroes podcast is called Core.
Yeah.
It's the core.
I remember all the over. Yeah, it's core.
All the voiceovers.
Yeah. It's hard to keep all these MOBAs straight, because they're so damn similar.
They're so the same, but with different characters.
Yeah, and then the subtle differences.
Oh, there's map differences.
The difference between Heroes and LOL is bigger than the difference between
LOL and LOL Dota. Yeah. And the difference between them and first Dota is crazy.
It's crazy, yeah. And then
I remember
Heroes of New Earth is also the same kind of thing. And then you start moving into like Smite, and then that's a whole different.
Oh, animal. I love Smite. Smite is cool. It is a MOBA from not three quarter view. What the fuck is that
RTS
called?
RTS view.
RTS view.
I don't know what it's called.
It's not quite Bird's Eye. It's not quite RTS view.
Third.
It's like three-quarter view. It's like the views in the Shadowrun games. There's actually a specific term. It's not quite the same as that.
Yeah.
There's a specific term for the views in like the Shadowrun games.
I don't remember.
Anyway, that's not important. Anyway, next challenge is what... I don't know why they're doing this. I don't think they don't have people playing the game. It seems like a thing to bring people in to play the game.
Yeah, and it's worked. Like, on the subreddit for Heroes of the Storm alone, the first... bit, like, I checked in yesterday and there's 2,000 new people subscribed to that subreddit.
I didn't think Heroes needed a boost, but I mean, I guess if you can give a boost, why the fuck not, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's not costing. I mean,
they're doing this cross promotion thing a lot, and
it's not technically costing.
It brought Rachel on.
It brings Overwatch players, I guess, maybe.
And then all these people are interested in playing with friends, and then I get to play with friends finally, because these people want to play, and I'm so excited.
So, anyway, what the next challenge is, if you haven't actually said yet, is if you play 15 games of anything that is not the Brawl or Customs, or any regularly ruled games, or training, so basically any regularly ruled games with at least one person, so you can enter...
Friend.
You enter as a party.
Yeah, but I think it says friend.
I just assume
rather than party, it's a friend.
I think you only have... Pretty sure... I guess they can just add the friends, though.
Yeah, you add the friends.
Because yesterday when I was playing it, the thing was, whisper me for... So we can do a Genji skin farm. But I guess
if you don't have friends and you don't mind strangers, you can just type in general chat and you'll get an invite in a second.
For sure. So if you play with people... 15 games, you get a Genji skin for Overwatch and
a portrait for Overwatch.
A portrait for Overwatch and a portrait for Heroes.
And
something else in Heroes. A couple other things also in Heroes. I don't remember what they were.
Yeah.
Did you get a mount? No, you get a mount in 30.
You get a mount in 30. And you get a bunch of characters.
If you play 30, you get, like five characters.
You get Zarya, Ariel, the mount, which is a cool, like, jet bikey thing.
Yeah.
And then other heroes that I already own, so I don't remember.
I don't own any of them. I don't remember what any of them were, but I know I don't own any of them.
Let me bring it up, because I don't
And you get I think you get a couple other things, probably another portrait or something. Nothing crazy, but so it's really interesting. 15 or 30 games seems like a lot, but the games aren't generally super long.
You can play against easy AI.
Yeah.
And that is a guarantee.
Especially if you have five people.
Yeah, if you have five people. Steamroll them. And at least one of them knows what they're doing, it's guaranteed 15 minutes.
Or faster.
Or faster, yeah. I've done a game in 8.
I've done a game solo versus easy AI in like 10.
Yeah.
If I was a warrior.
Well, I was like Asmund. I play Siege. So yeah. I can.
If you're a support or like a specialist, sometimes, depending on the specialist, it'll take longer. But if you're like a warrior or an assassin, dude.
Oh, even better. Okay.
You can.
So, 15 games.
Mm-hmm.
You get Oni Genji skin, Oni Genji which portrait.
Looks super and cool.
Oni Genji spray. But then in Heroes, spray. You get Zarya at 15.
Oh, you get Zarya at 15?
And then you get Oni Genji portrait. And Zarya at 15 is pretty good because she's pretty new.
No, second newest because Varian's out now.
Third newest, I think.
I don't
remember when she came out in relation. She might have been the same time as Samuro.
Oh, I forgot about Samuro. No, he came out after. Yes.
Yeah, so we got Samuro.
I forgot about the character that should have been Grom.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to release a melee orc.
We'll get there.
Why not release Grom?
Grom's a warrior.
Yeah, but he's still. He's an assassin.
Nah, he'll be a warrior. Because he's a warrior in Hearthstone.
That's true. He's a warrior card now.
But he'll be a bruiser, I believe.
That's true. Yeah. He would have to be a damage warrior.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of damage warriors, I mean, Varian, I just did the trial.
He's cool.
Dude, I like it.
But he's a legit multi-class, so.
Yeah, depending on how you build it.
But it is awesome.
I built just to, because it was training, I built just to fucking stab Arthas in the face a lot. And I killed Arthas real fast. And then when he tried to run away, I charged him and I stunned him. And I killed him real fast.
Yep. Now, the 30 games is real great. You get Ariel, Greymane, Kerrigan, Li Ming, and the mount, and a 30-day stim pack.
Made the stim pack.
Which is great.
Which is good.
Especially, like, now, the experience boost you get from having a full party.
Yeah, they. I noticed that yesterday. Depending on how many people in your party, actually.
Yeah, you get incremental more experience. Like, if you got five people in your party, one of them's on your friend list, and you play, like, a single game, and you win that game, you get so much experience, it's nuts. Because you get the beginning XP bonus. So if you add a stim pack on top of that, these are all percentage boosts.
Yep.
So they're not static. So
they're all stackable.
Depending on what mode you play as well, that takes into effect. Like, you get more playing for quick match than AI. You get more for...
This is also true of Overwatch. You get more for playing people instead of AI.
And, like, the draft mode, you get more, and the actual hero league, draft. You get more.
Ugh, competitive. Gross.
Well, the casual draft is good.
I just don't like draft. I mean, I've never tried draft. I don't like the sound of draft.
It depends. You have to kind of be more in tune with the meta to do a draft, but it's really nice. I don't
like the sound of it.
In general, yeah, just quick match and have fun is great.
Yep.
But the fact that it offers both versions and does so well in casual, it's great. But the 30 games thing is huge, because those four characters are real great.
Yep, and Oriol is also very, very new.
Yeah, very new.
Just before Zarya.
So the newest support, for sure.
Newest support. Lili's a bitch. She killed me hard when we were playing last night.
Li Ming.
Oh, Li Ming. Yeah. Sorry. She's also very new. And also a bitch. She had some ability that was fucking way overpowered, wasn't it?
Like all of them.
Yeah, she was super powerful when she came out.
But she's still super powerful. Like, it takes some getting used to how her moves work. They're a little tricky in how they target. But she is one of the biggest damage dealers.
She's deadly. Who else was on that list?
Kerrigan and Greymane, who are also two of the other biggest damage dealers.
Greymane's also fairly new. Not super, super new, but he's within... He's not.
Yeah.
Certainly not. I was certainly already aware of who was in the game when he came out.
Yeah.
Like, I was already playing the game. He's cool. He's kind of he's a similar idea to Varian. It's like he's the first test thing that they did with Varian, because they didn't change him from Assassin from Assassin to something else. He's Assassin either way.
Right.
But he's melee as Worgen and ranged as human.
He's a huge burst damage.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, he is.
Yeah.
If you're support and you see him coming down the way, you better hit your tank.
If you're anyone and you're fighting him, your health is less than full, you keep your distance from him.
Yep.
Because he's gonna waste you. And then Kerrigan is huge in the meta, and has been for a while. So, like, if you take any of these into a quick match, or not quick match, the
draft,
you're good. You got some picks here. Some of them will likely be banned, but for if sure. they get through, then you got one of your picks, because there is a fair bit to definitely ban these days.
I wish Sylvanas was one, because I don't think I own Sylvanas either. And she's great. I love Sylvanas.
She's so good. She's one of my favorites.
It's dumb. Her Black Arrow passive thing
is so great.
So dumb. I mean, it is great and dumb.
Yeah, just, it's kind of it's a double-edged just sword. Just like,
fuck your towers. But she's also, yeah, got a fairly, not slow attack, but lined attacks, mostly. Yeah.
And her ults are kind of underwhelming.
I just know Siege Specialist, she's really good at. It's not that she does a ton of siege damage.
She just makes it so makes towers, everyone can damage it.
Yeah, she makes really she easy. Can nullify the towers.
Yeah.
If she can, you know, not have to be dodging around other enemy heroes or something.
Yeah, and if she gets left alone, she's going to take out the whole lane.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done it in AI. Yeah. It's just taking it. I've just walked up.
So if you're playing against people and you're alone, you're going to get jumped on by a whole group.
That's a fact. Anyway, Heroes is fun. We'll probably be playing Heroes later.
I am definitely playing Heroes as soon as this is done.
All right, let's move on to the last few things. We've already been over an hour somehow. We didn't even talk about John Wick that long. I blame Pokemon.
We talked about John Wick more than John Wick.
This is true. Anyway, Andrew.
Hello. So,
Star Wars Catalyst.
Yes. Oh, man. He's cool. So, this snuck up on me because the Ahsoka book came out not too long ago, and that was really great. Doubly great because the audiobook was...
I assume it's the audiobook no matter how you get it.
Yeah, it was read to you by the Ahsoka voice actress.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember.
I
want to say it's Ashley Eckstein, but I could be wrong.
That sounds familiar, so that's probably it.
I'm going to look it up. You keep going.
So, yeah, she read it. It was really good. It's technically a young adult book, but in Star Wars, it doesn't make a difference. I find the young adult books actually have more character and more story, like character-driven stories, rather than the full-fledged ones, which usually seem like they just build on canon. They're just spoon-feeding you canon details, and then these characters are just part of the delivery mechanism to get canon into your mouth.
So it's more like the Silmarillion? Again, well, going back to the Lord, but not quite that bad.
Not that far.
Not quite that textbook.
Yeah.
But more that, damn it, dogs, stop it. More that, they actually stopped. Yeah, not quite that history, just that they've sort of got a ghost of a story.
Yeah.
That's not really there.
It's not that bad. Like, you'll still be able to enjoy it and be like, hey, look, this character is cool. But... this is the prequel to Rogue One, and it follows, so far it follows Janor's, I believe that's her name.
Orso?
Orso, that's it, yeah, because it's Janor's.
Janor's, uh-huh.
Man,
I know.
It's so frustrating.
When they released that name, I was like, fuck are you doing? I mean, yeah. I know she's not canon, but come on.
She still exists in, like, all of our brains.
I think because she was very popular. She exists in the brain of the fans.
So, like, even as I'm listening to the book, because I got the auto boo boo boo, I still can't get over that name.
Yeah. No, I also don't like it. Jan Ors, I think, was better than Jin. Orso and Ors, whatever. Orso is fine. I just don't like Jin. Yeah. It's weird.
Like, every time they say Jin, I'm like, it sounds wrong. And I'm like, no, it's a different person.
Or it's a genie. DJINN. Jin?
Yeah.
That's the genie. It's not. But it should be. She's a genie.
Anyway, it follows her dad, and so far it's all taking place in the Clone Wars.
And why in that trailer he was hunted down by an old man?
Yeah.
I assume it's the same man in the white officer's uniform.
Yeah.
And can we talk about how boss those white officer uniforms are?
Very boss. They're
boss, and I want one.
Yeah.
That's the second thing I took away from like the Rogue One trailer. It's just like, man, I want that officer's uniform with the cape. You can keep the hats, but I'll take the uniform and the cape.
Yeah. Those sweet stormtroopers. Love me some cool stormtroopers.
Hmm. So this Catalyst, I know I love it a little bit about it, but is it like a miniseries or just one book?
One book. One book prequel. Talks about, so far is focusing on what this battle station could be.
What this battle station? Mystery to us all.
Fully armed and operational battle station.
I just realized, like you needed, I didn't open any of my bookmarks. As I'm looking at things that I need to look at bookmarks.
Good job.
Yeah. Look, I even have one for the Inhumans, and apparently I just didn't need it. No. Inhumans, not getting a movie, headed to ABC.
So it's a good book, just came out this week, and it is a good companion to the movie that will be coming out next month.
Yep, next month. All right, let's talk about Highlander. I want to talk about great fantasy.
There can only be one.
Yep, there can be only one, in fact.
There can be only one.
There can be only one, except there's like five movies and three TV series.
I'm not. I'm Egyptian.
Egyptian, not Scottish. That was another thing. I was reading. This was my fault because it was like BuzzFeed or something stupid on the Snapchat stories. And I was like,
yeah,
talking about things that were cast wrong. And like, you cast a really famous Scottish guy as the Egyptian with a Spanish name. Or was it Spanish with an Egyptian name? I don't remember now. And a Frenchman with a French accent as a Scottish man. I was like, how are you guys complaining about that? Come on, shut up.
Yeah.
Anyway, Highlander, which is a movie series in it, and the Highlander series, TV series, was fucking fantastic.
Also, Headlander is on sale on Steam right now.
I don't know.
It's 40% off. It's a side-scroller where you play as a head, and you hop on things, and then you take them over. And it's kind of like a Metroid game. It's made by Double Fine. Looks real good. That's it's on sale.
I don't care about
it's
it.
It's like $12 right now. Check it out.
I'm going to have to show you something. I'm not going to mention it on the show because it's super creepy, but I'm going to have to show you something on Steam after this.
Oh, boy.
Highlander will expand its legacy next year as a comic miniseries from IDW. So, Scottish fantasy writer Brian Ruckley will be writing it. It'll be like a prequel to the... It'll lead up to the opening of the movie. 1986. That was 2 years... That movie came out 2 years before I was alive. In 3 years since... Blah, blah, blah.
In a blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there was a little more, and I can't find where it was. Everybody's excited. There you go. Ruckley will explore Conor McLeod's journey, both physical and internal, that led him to becoming humanity's immortal champion, except not quite, because that was then changed in the second movie, which was then changed in the third movie, which was then changed in Endgame, which was after the series started.
That is too much.
And then there was The Raven, which was weird. I never watched. And then there was the third one. And then there was the movie that came at the end of Highlander series, where they were supposed to look for like the source of where the immortals came from, and that was just a terrible, stupid movie. But I watched it anyway because it had Duncan MacLeod and the other guy who I can never remember, but he's a fantastic actor. He was also a Goa'uld. Anyway, from medieval Scotland to Civil War era Pennsylvania, to mid-century Manhattan, readers will meet compelling new characters such as immortal Asta Vasilek and revisit fan favorites. So it is basically, it's post him meeting Sean Connery.
I'm not Spanish, I'm Egyptian.
That was it. So yeah, he was an Egyptian with a Spanish name, yeah. But it's pre when he's in Manhattan and the game is happening. So technically it's not fully prequel before the movie, because a lot, you know, that first half hour happened so many years in the past.
Highlander canon's messed up.
It has no canon. Each movie has its own canon. They retconned everything each time. And Highlander 2 alone, in the director's cut, is completely different. Like how they changed that story and what they said.
It's like Transformers canon.
So bad. No, it's worse. There is nothing worse than Highlander. That is still technically a series for canon. I would defy you to find anything.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
It's so fucked up. It's literally... Because I realized the first one to two, they didn't expect to make a series. That's why one, Highlander is a contained story. This guy wins. He's a last immortal. Blah, blah, blah. His prize was that he wasn't immortal anymore. For fuck's sake, his prize was that he could live as a normal human, basically.
What a prize.
After you've been alive and watched all the people you've loved die and age... It's actually a pretty sweet prize.
Classic.
But then they're like, oh, they want to make another one? Fuck, how do we retcon that suddenly there's more immortals and he's back to being young and no shit? Yeah. That's what happened. And then after that, it was just, they're terrible. But each one is good in its own contained self. I mean, Highlander 2 is a bad movie. It's got, and the director's cut's not bad, but the actual theatrical release has, they cut two different sword fights where Connor has two different swords into one sword fight.
Oh, boy.
It's obvious. It's not like they're just in two different places. No, he's using a different weapon.
Hmm.
Not all swords. People who made Highlander, not all swords. Hashtag not all swords.
Hashtag not all swords.
The Highlander miniseries starts in February. So I'm looking forward to that. Probably pick it up.
IDW is real good.
Probably pick it up and trade. IDW is good. It's weird, actually. It's kind of, I mean, I guess Highlander fits more with IDW, but usually Dark Horse gets all the adaptation type stuff.
Yeah.
From TVs and movies.
That's true.
It probably fits an IDW sort of mindset more than a Dark Horse mindset. Anyway, so Andrew, also in February, how much do you, how we were talking about when we should have been recording pre-show stuff, because apparently that's the thing I should do now, because we had a really good conversation. We were talking about this half Zabrick just earlier, just before we started recording.
Yeah. The more Sith not even, than Darth Vader.
Most, yeah, we're actually talking about Emperors. That was how it started. We were talking about Emperors.
Yeah.
How Emperor Palpatine wasn't the Sith Emperor because there was no Sith Emperor.
Yeah. That's a verb.
Anyway, so Darth Maul is also getting his own series starting in February. This is coming from Marvel, obviously.
Obvi.
Ugh, I hate myself for doing that.
Like, totally. this is going to be so fetch.
Really? I can't believe you... anyway.
No, I'm going
to make it happen. So this series is going to be written by Colin Bunn, who has been doing a lot of work these days as a writer. Blah, blah, blah. Darth Maul was his favorite character in The Phantom Menace. I mean, isn't that true of everybody?
Yeah. Who do you like more?
I mean, I guess it wasn't Obi-Wan wasn't good until two.
And even then, he was still kind of...
I like Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan.
I like Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan too, but he was
okay. Not in Phantom Menace, no. Nobody was good in Phantom. I mean, Qui-Gon was pretty sweet.
He had that pretty sweet Liam quip Mason. Where he's like, you were right about one thing. Negotiations were short. And Qui-Gon just verbally backhands him.
Yeah, that was good.
Puts him in his place.
This is the attitude. Anyway.
But you made Liam Neeson boring.
But still Liam Neeson. Which is probably the only reason there was anything good about that character.
It's true.
The artist is going to be Luke Ross, whose name I don't really recognize, but he worked on a Star Wars The Force Awakens adaptation. Comic thing.
Because he's an artist. Thing.
Oh, I know that he was there's the novelization. I think I might have put the adaptation on my Secret Santa list. I put a lot of comic stuff. Star Wars stuff on the new stuff. I also went over the old things that were now over, like they were on sale last Christmas and now they're over $30 and I deleted them. So anyway.
Darth Maul?
So here's how Marvel describes the series.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Bred on hate, fear, and anger. Steeped in the ways of darkness. Just trained like to kill. What?
Steeped like a tea.
Steeped like a tea. Oh boy.
Tea of hatred and evil. Darkness.
Tea, assassin tea, because it's trained to kill.
Hot tea.
Darth Maul's time as an apprentice to Darth Sidious has long been... Sidious? Wasn't it? I thought he was Dooku's apprentice.
No, he's Sidious. Dooku wasn't around then.
Ventress was with Dooku.
Yeah.
That was it.
Even that wasn't really apprentice.
No, it wasn't an apprentice. It was an assassin.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what Darth Maul was anyway. Anyway.
Technically, Dooku can't take on an apprentice because of the rule of two.
Yeah. That's why.
Technically, Vader assassin. Couldn't either.
Yeah. Anyway. Darth Maul's time as an apprentice to Darth Sidious has long been cloaked in shadows. But
yes.
At last, we will reveal his tale of revenge. His master tells him to embrace his anger, but to stay hidden and bide his time. Maul has waited long enough, his patience growing ever thinner. His moment to step into the light has finally come. Prepare for a tale of unbridled rage, as Darth Maul readies one of his first encounters with his mortal enemy, with the Jedi. That's a weird sentence. Readies one of his first encounters. It's a weird sentence.
That is a weird sentence.
I think they're missing a word or something. Ready's four?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a sentence.
Well, I mean, they get paid to write, and we don't. They gotta be right.
No, they don't. There's some real bad editors out there, let me tell you. So this is also coming out in 2017, February. I was reading the year, and I don't know why I was reading the year.
That's too far.
February. February 2017. In this, I don't know. It doesn't say miniseries, but I don't know that it'll be a super long series.
It's gotta, man. Darth Maul.
Yeah, but I don't know what they're gonna do. I mean,
there's so much like stuff to explore before he had.
I suppose there is
character
before he got cut in half.
Yeah,
because we've already seen what happened to him. After he got cut in half, it's in the cartoons.
Where he became an actual character.
Yeah. He's actually really good. He shows up in the first half of Rebels Season 3 as well.
And the end of Season 2.
Two, yeah.
Rebels.
But
and he's real great.
But to continue our non-recorded conversation, because we talked a little bit about that too, he shows up in an episode, just one, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
He's good. He's great in that show.
He's real great. He's a real great character, and he's real interesting, and the old
even if he's non-canonized. Half Sabric.
Yeah, if he's half. It's so weird.
And yet, still the first and only canon Sabric.
Yep.
No, actually, that's not true. He's the first canon Sabric, because now they've got all the other half Sabrics on whatever that planet is.
Like Savage
Opress.
Savage Opress.
Fucking name is stupid. Darth Maul, fine. Because that's not even necessarily his real name. When you're a Darth, you should have it. You have a different name.
But in the case of Maul, it is because of, well, I mean, okay, this isn't canon anymore, so now I don't know. God, please give me a canon Darth Maul backstory.
Well, comics coming in February, Andrew.
Jesus, gimme.
Yeah, because every time you have a Darth, it's Darth Sidious. It's
Darth.
Not a Darth is a title, and then the other name is not. Quite a title, not quite a name.
Tyrannus.
It's weird.
Tyrannus.
They're not just different names. But they're not quite tighter titles either. It's weird.
But you're still like given it.
Yes.
Like a title.
But also you're also not, given a name.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Sith is weird, and I don't have the Sith handbook.
The rule of two.
Or the Jedi Code, which I would probably never buy.
I did because completion. If you have like all of them but one, you just might as well get that one.
True. I suppose. Yeah, I suppose you would have the Sith thing and the Emperor's. The other one's like
the Imperial.
Imperial thing.
And then the other one's the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I've got all those. I might as well just get the Jedi one too.
Might as well get the lame-o one.
Yeah. Hippie. Peace. No attachment. Blah blah blah.
Gray Jedi are best.
Gray Jedi.
Because they're not actually Jedi.
That was another cool thing about the Ahsoka.
Just the general, yeah, she's kind of a Grey Jedi at this point.
Yeah, she's kind of figuring out what she is.
So is Ezra, kind of. He's leaning towards that area.
Yeah.
And I mean, Kanan's kind of being forced into that area due to, you know,
living. Circumstance.
Living to having to be a criminal and live in hiding and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
More interesting.
We'll talk about more Star Wars probably after the recording.
Star Wars.
Because we're already like... super long. We have one more thing to talk about, Andrew.
That's sad news.
Sad news.
Sad news.
You got 5 minutes.
Unfortunately, the Overwatch graphic novel has been canceled due to the story going in a different direction, or planned to be going in a different direction than what it was when they started that.
It's someone's fault. They got hacked.
Someone's fault.
I mean, it's not... It's bad news. It's too bad. It is bad news. It's sad to hear, but it's not a huge deal, per se.
No, because we haven't... We don't have much story as it is, so yeah. It's not like we're really missing out on anything. It's just we're not getting more.
Yet. I assume something else will be coming. They're doing more shorts.
More shorts, more little comics.
I'm going to do what I usually do earlier, but I'm going to recommend another podcast.
Name drop.
Whereas, even if you don't like, it's technically it's on the Instance feed, which is a World of Warcraft podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're not interested in World of Warcraft, I would suggest you go listen to the latest thing. Well, by the time this comes out, they'll probably done a new episode, because they usually do their episodes on the weekends as well. But Scott's interview with Chris Metzen.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Post leaving Blizzard. They don't talk specifics about Blizzard per se, like games or lore or anything like that. They talk about him and his circumstances.
Yeah.
And that's fucking amazing. It's an amazing interview. It needs to be heard.
Do they mention how much changed story-wise from Titan?
They do mention a little bit about Titan to Overwatch, simply because Metzen at that point was already, like, he had been suffering from, like, heavy anxiety and, like, panic attacks, but he didn't realize there were panic attacks for, like, a year at that point. He just didn't realize it. And he was already thinking about leaving, but it was, like, Overwatch was, like, his last hurrah. Is how he was romancing, and he said in his own head as, like, one last charge at the wall.
Leroy.
That's what Overwatch was in his head.
It's pretty good. It turned out good for him, I think.
They talk about that a little bit, and they do talk about Titan and stuff, and how they had to sort of the creative, not like specific team, but like the upper people, him and Kaplan and Morheim and all the upper people at Blizzard were like, we've got to find something to do with this, you know?
Yeah.
Because I mean, at that point, it hurt the whole company, and I don't even just like monetarily, because it was a major monetary loss, and they also lost a couple of jobs over it. But
time, effort, energy, morale.
It was apparently like the whole morale just was fucking tanked after that. Apparently,
yeah. Well, you put that much Blizzard time into a game for like
the whole company, and that is sort of the company that Blizzard is, even if it's international now.
Yeah,
the whole company is still a lot closer than other, and they're not as big as they seem like they should be for being so international.
But they only release so many games. Yeah. There's not a whole lot going on.
They're not EA.
Yeah.
Who just publishes everything. But it's a great interview. And also, if you are interested in Warcraft, you should listen to the one before that, which is their second lore episode, which, Andrew, we need to talk about off the air, because I don't know if you know about Ilgalnoth and the Heart of Corruption and the Emerald Nightmare.
I know the Emerald Nightmare.
But we need to talk about it.
Okay.
It's a fact. So, yeah, go listen to Chris Metzen interview, which apparently Scott didn't realize apparently is going to be pretty damn exclusive, because he's not planning on doing interviews.
Yeah.
So it's really just that they're friends. And so also it starts with apparently when Scott called him on Skype, he interrupted him looking up for out-of-print Warhammer minis online, because that's apparently his thing now.
The out-of-print minis is interesting you bring that up. I should have added to the notes, but I didn't think anyone cared.
Well, Chris Metzen cares.
Chris Metzen. I believe he is looking at the exclusive small print runs of miniatures you can buy. So they're old out-of-print minis that Games Workshop is allowing you to click buy, and they will do a small run.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's weird, because it's Games Workshop.
Print to order. Yeah. No, actually, Games Workshop. Okay, more on
Games
this.
Games Workshop is generally jackasses.
Guys, Games Workshop is a new company. Oh, God. I have feelings that aren't hatred. They released... They got this print to order is what it's called. So there's it's been going on for a little bit, and now they got this week of more special ones that are all print to order, and... they just put up a community website, which is huge, because I think like this time last year they didn't have Facebook. They took it down a long time ago. They didn't have Facebook, they didn't have Twitter. Now they got Instagram, they got Facebook, and now they got a community website, like a forum, blogs. They are sharing people, like you paint your miniatures and you take pictures and you're like, look at Games Workshop, look what I did, and they're like, oh, I'm so proud of you, let's put this up on our site.
That's weird.
They're fostering community.
That's weird from them.
Yeah, because for so long they've been the Satan of
they don't give a shit.
Tabletop, and they didn't care. And
don't give a shit. It's actually like WotC, right? Wizards of the Coast is also just becoming
violent, like vilified.
Different newcomer. No, I mean, they're getting better, I think.
Yeah, but they were the same.
Oh, yes, they were the same sort of vilification. Although Games Workshop was worse.
Yeah, 100%. They were.
WotC was also really vilified, and also it doesn't help that they can set the collector's prices for all of their Magic cards.
Yeah, that's pretty great. That was the best thing. They're like, oh, well, you're the standard. Going, oh, we'll just buy your you. Company.
And then we set all the prices. All
the prices.
But yeah, no, WotC with D&D, with D&D at least, is getting a lot better about things. At least for like Dungeons and Dragons stuff. I can't really claim for Magic or whatever the other thing they have. That's the other third stupid thing. Here's a third thing. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
No,
WotC has a third thing?
I do.
But it's dumb looking. And has a stupid name.
What's it got? Monster.
Yeah, but they have like three things that they majorly sort of focus on. Magic and D&D and then the thing with a dumb name. So I think that's it. We've now gone 7 minutes since I said 5 minutes. So, let's,
Duel Masters, yeah.
Duel, no, I don't think it was
like that. They own things. That's
yeah, they own things.
The Avalon Hill, they do the Axis and Allies.
Yeah. Yeah, they also have a thing with, Betrayal. It's a lot of this WotC stuff, too, but it's not WotC. I mean, it is, but it's
also not. Yeah. Anyway, it's not WotC proper.
Anyway.
Wizards of the Coast. I don't know if we said.
I think I did.
We did say.
I know we took a 5 minute break too, because dog's barking. But I'm pretty sure I said it.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's it. For this week, have we got Twitter? I'm on Twitter. I do things sometimes, occasionally. I'm at Dead75. DUDI75.
I'm at DUP3, doop, is leet, speak, DUP3, it is doop, not dup, 3, doop.
What is our website? That is geeklynews.com. Oh, also, the show has a Twitter, I forgot about that. God, it's only been a week and I've lost it. And we did one last week, I don't know.
Did we ever have it?
Probably not. The show has Twitter at Geekly News, GWEEKLYNEWS. And we have a website, it's geeklynews.com, where you can see our show notes and other things on the website.
You can also see our show notes if you download our podcast in the podcast app on Android.
Well, yeah.
I don't remember what it's called because my phone's dead. But it's cool. I got it. So it shows up like if you download it and you click on the See More, it has the whole show notes.
I think it's that
full,
way.
Full links and everything.
I think it's that way on the iPhone too.
It should be the same in iTunes, but
I can't speak to the.
I don't know if I.
The separate apps. I can't speak to any third party apps, but I believe here on my general normal. I'm scrolling. Keep this body scrolling.
Right.
Hey there, show notes looking just like they did full links. Anyway, and you can email us if you want to talk about how we need to ramble about random shit less or something.
Ramble on!
At feedback@greeklynews.com. Or you could leave a message on the website on the bottom of this page or something. Or Facebook at facebook.com/greeklynews.
The book face.
The book face.
The book face.
And we are obviously, as just discussed, on iTunes. Which is, for better or for worse, the premier place you get your podcast. Premier place people get podcasts.
That is factual.
For better or for worse.
That's where the pod came from.
Yeah, exactly. That's why people like Leo Laporte have been doing things for longer than pod.
Netcasts.
Love. Yeah. The only person in the world still using the term netcasts.
I listened to it before they were podcasts. I was with Leo Laporte since he started doing netcasts. His little twit talk show on technology, and he would answer questions. He was Leo the computer guy or something like that.
Something
Leo Laporte the computer guy, and it was great.
Just like there's another joke. There's another guy who was like that, but I can't remember who it was. He always introduced himself the same way, and people make fun of him for it. Sort of tease him off it. I know his nickname is like Twitter handle and his nickname in chat rooms, so I cannot remember his actual name. Anyway, that's not important. We're on iTunes, and we would appreciate a rating and review, because again, that's like the premier place to get podcasts.
That's how people find us. Or you could share us. Or you could share
us with people. Share us with nerds you know.
Yeah.
The nerds you know.
Rainbow.
Rainbow? What? I was doing more, you know, like
yeah,
from.
There's a rainbow.
Oh, so you were singing the visual
yeah, of the rainbow. This is an audible, audio medium.
Good job. That's good words. Why can you not say those?
I don't know. This the audible brand. It's just, it's got me consumed.
Anyway. And that's why he wants to get big enough that they can have some sort of deal with Audible.
Yeah, I'm already basically walking advertisement.
Yep. That's
how I get paid.
That's how Drunks and Dragons got things from
Drunks and Dragons.
TriWink.
Drunks and Dragons.
It used to be Club W. Now it's TriWink. Oh, that's the website.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Thanks for putting up with us and listening. See you next week.
And as always, don't stick a fork in an outlet.
It's good advice. Sage advice.
I am a sage.
What's the difference? I'm going to try that again because that was terrible. I'm not going to cut it out yet. I'm just going to have to remember when I started. Give me a good few seconds so I have a good time. You just ruined it. So shut up. All right. Let's try that again.